Raj Patel is an award-winning author, filmmaker, and academic. He's a research professor in the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas in Austin, and a senior research associate at the Unit for the Humanities at the University, currently known as Rhodes University, South Africa. In 2016, Raj was recognized with a James Beard Foundation Leadership Award, and he testified about the causes of the global food crisis to the U.S., U.K., and EU governments. Raj is also a member of the International Panel of Experts on Sustainable Food Systems. Raj Patel is also a director and producer, known recently for The Ants and the Grasshopper, but also for Drink 'Em Dry, Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us? Ants and Grasshopper is having its world premiere Telluride in Mountain Film. This is Susan Vibrock of Telluride Inside and Out, delighted to be speaking with Raj on behalf of his co-director, Zach Piper, and the star of his documentary, Anita Chitaya. Is that Raj? Chitaya?
That's right, Susan, yes.
Thank you. So thanks for joining me, Raj. First,
it's a
soundbite on your... Oh, thank you. So first, a soundbite on your backstory. Was Raj Patel the sociocultural activist born or made?
I was made pretty young. When I was 5 years old, I saw hunger and poverty for the first time in India, and it incensed me so much I started renting out my toys at kindergarten. And you know, the journey I've been on has been since then trying to persuade people that hunger is a bad thing and we can do something about it.
Renting out your toys. Okay. which came first, teacher, author, filmmaker, and how do these three disparate disciplines feed into one another?
Well, I'm an activist. I want people to change to end hunger. And so reluctantly, I've become an author in order to, you know, I wrote a book called Stuffed and Starved and a few other books that try to persuade people, sometimes successfully, that you can do something about ending hunger. But, you know, it's not enough. You can't reach that many people with books. I know, I've tried. But filmmaking can, you know, touch people in a way that writing books can't. At least that's what I've discovered. And so the filmmaking has come later, again as part of this longer project of being able to persuade people either directly through teaching, through writing, or through presenting images that you can change the world. So they're all part of one big project, which is to remind the world that hunger exists and we can do something to end it.
Great. Nice segue into Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us? That was a 2010 documentary that investigated the multiple angles of the recent bee epidemic colony collapse disorder. And then Drink 'Em Dry is an inside look at the 38-day lockout of 172 workers at the Moosehead Breweries in the, I guess, winter, around winter 2011?
That's right, yeah.
That documentary explored the universal ways the union and its members were able to win public support for their cause while not vilifying the employer, which is certainly unusual. And now we've got The Ants and the Grasshopper. So sum up what those three different docs have in common, and do you find those films, or did they find you, particularly in the case of Ants and Grasshopper?
Well, the first two I was lucky enough to be invited to be a part of. And so I do a lot of work on food and food systems, and I'm something of an expert on that world. But I come to it through being an activist, and so my union commitments and my commitments to the ecology of the planet around us really brought me into those films, and the directors of those films wanted me to be a talking head there. But with Ants and the Grasshopper, what I was trying to do is draw on that experience to really craft a film with my co-director Zach Piper and our mentor Steve James, who did Hoop Dreams back in the day. And really what we wanted to do is create a documentary that told a story that really seized people by the lapels and showed that we can do more about changing the world than merely altering our shopping habits. I mean, you know, yes, we want to buy organic and local and we go to the farmer's market, and I do that and I love it, but there are deeper changes that we can do. And one of the best ways of persuading people that those changes can happen is to show them happening. And so over 10 years, we made this film I'm very, very proud of, and it shows incredible changes that are possible in a mere decade.
Okay. I was going to bring that decade subject up. Why did it take, why did the ants and the grasshopper take a decade to make? What were the greatest challenges in making it, and what were the greatest gifts out of it?
To be honest, the film industry is not set up to give a couple of scrappy documentary makers funds to run for a decade. And so, you know, I mean, we had to sort of beg, steal, and borrow our way through to the end of this film with some very generous support. But the gift of that is that you can show things happening over the arc of a decade, like the end of patriarchy, the turning of a generation, the ending of hunger in a village. And that stuff doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't even happen over a year. It takes time. And what we get to see in that process is, you know, all of this happening. But I think the greatest gift is this. We started out as filmmakers saying, well, you know, you over there, you stand there, all right, now we're going to follow you around. And by the end of it, the folk who were in front of the camera moved behind it. So, you know, the guy who was driving us around and doing translating for us became a producer and the director of photography. Our lead character, Anita Chitaya, ended up narrating the film and really crafting the arc of the journey that we took from Malawi all the way to the United States and back again. And that kind of a gift is transformative, not just for the film, obviously, but for us as well.
Okay, thank you. Climate change warriors Bill McKibben and Paul Hawken have both spoken in Mountain Film more than once about climate change and its implications. Hawken most recently, I think, in 2017, with the release of his book Downdraw, a compelling inoculation against worldwide perception of doom, that humanity cannot and will not solve the global warming crisis. And then McKibben, more times than I can count, including the release of his book, Falter, has the human game begun to play itself out? That was the report, as you'd likely know, on climate change and a plea for our future, if humankind is to have a future. So what does the ants and the grasshopper have to add to that picture? Does the story of Anita Chitaya reinforce Hawkins' message that, and I'm quoting, the climate crisis is not a science problem, it is a human problem. The ultimate power to change the world does not reside in technologies. It relies on reverence, respect, and compassion for ourselves, all people, all life.
Well, you know, I love Bill McKibben. In fact, Bill McKibben just wrote us up in The New Yorker very kindly and had an interview with Anita. And one of the things that really comes across, and you know, I love Paul Hawken's work as well, is one of the things that this film shows is that actually what we think of as technology isn't enough, and what we think of as science isn't enough. Because Anita Chitaya is a scientist. She is a technologist of change. And her tools of change are around growing food differently, about persuading very patriarchal couples where the man's a bit of a chauvinist, in fact, quite a lot of a chauvinist, to change his ways and to persuade climate change deniers even here in the United States. That in fact there can and should be alternatives to the way that we do things. Those technologies of persuasion are absolutely, that they are human, but these are really well tried and tested technologies. And I think it's important that what this film shows is that folk in sub-Saharan Africa are not merely waiting for the right technology to come along, but instead they are creators of technology and science. And folk in the front lines of climate change, whether in the United States or anywhere else in the world, have a great deal more to teach us than the experts would like to think. And that's a finding that I think Bill McKibben and Paul Hawken would agree with. But it's one thing to know that. It's another thing to actually see it on screen because we've seen it so rarely.
Okay, thank you. What made you and your team decide on Mountain Film for the world premiere of The Ants and the Grasshopper?
Well, it's just such an amazing festival with an audience that is, I think, unlike any other audience in the documentary film world, because the audience at Mountain Film is kind of famous for understanding that film can change the world. And that was the goal of this project, right? You know, we spent 10 years doing it. We don't just want to put it out there so that people can watch it on Netflix and then switch over to The Tiger King. We did it because we want to change the world. And because of that, there's a really good match between a film with our kind of ambition of, you know, it took a generation to make and it'll take a generation to change the world and we've got to start. And the audience of Mountain Film, who it seems to me is an audience that more than any other in the world gets that.
I would totally agree. Thank you for stating what to some of us who've watched Mountain Film for years is obvious. It's a game-changing event.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ants and the Grasshoppers, just parenthetically, is that off of Aesop's Fable, the title off of Aesop?
No, in fact, it inverts the Aesop fable story of the lazy grasshopper and the active ants. Here, it's a quote from the film where it's kind of a sort of an African parable where an ant by itself can't lift a grasshopper, but many ants can. And that it was a line that Anita Chitaya chose as the title of the film, so that's what we went with.
Okay, thank you. And finally, what do you hope that Mountain Film worldwide audience will take away from your documentary? What if you had your fondest dreams, would happen as a result of this screening?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, you know, just an appreciation of the amazing things that are already happening and are possible if we all organize together. But, you know, in my wildest dreams, what would happen? That all of a sudden, us in the global north, when we're watching it, would understand much more about our responsibilities and our debts to the global south, but also that we would understand that we can together lift the grasshopper that is climate change if we are prepared to change our ways and look at ourselves in the mirror and do some of the work. But that's the joy of this film, is that it presents the work that needs to be done by all of us in the global north and the global south, and makes it a kind of work that is not just a slog, and it's not just a duty, and it's not just about being woke in some horrible way, but it is the work of liberation for the planet. And that again, seems to me a message that can resonate particularly well in the Box Canyon of Telluride.
Thank you very, very much. This has been Susan Debrock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Raj Patel in his filmmaking face. Raj is bringing his world premiere of The Ants and the Grasshopper to Mountain Film 2021. Raj, thanks so much for joining me.
Susan,
I really appreciate your time.